the beginning of a new month, we turn to a new psalm. Psalm 45 will be our psalm of the month. Please listen as I read it and give a brief meditation on it. To the chief musician set to the lilies, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Your peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloe and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him. The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. David Murray wrote a book called Jesus on Every Page, which has the idea that the whole of the Bible is speaking about our Redeemer Jesus. It must be said that there are places where it's easier to see that than others, and this is one of them. This is one of those Old Testament passages where it is apparent that we are singing about the great King, Jesus Christ. This is a psalm that celebrates the marriage between a king and his bride, so it has been given the title, A Song of Love. It would have been significant for the first writers and those who first heard it. It's probably written for King Solomon. But it holds even more significance in our experience because we live on this side of Jesus, and we can see that it is expressing the glories of our Savior Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. With that in mind, I want you to hear this really wonderful biblical imagery that is repeated in many places of the bride and the groom, and see it as referring to Jesus and his love for the church. The psalm starts by describing the groom, or Jesus, and then turns to the bride. And so I'll take a few minutes just to highlight different aspects, different characteristics of our King Jesus Christ and the church as it is pictured here. First, let me note that Psalm 45 uses really wonderful poetic words here. And so it describes Jesus as being more fair than the sons of men, describes him as a mighty warrior. This is really appropriate in the context of a wedding where the beauty and the handsomeness of the bride and groom are praised. In this case, though, it has in mind not just the physical attributes. In fact, you might remember that Isaiah says that he is not a physical specimen, that he is lowly and meek and not something to be looked at physically. In fact, he was despised. So this is speaking instead of the beauties of our king in speaking of his power and of his authority. And again, think of it in the context of a wedding, and think of the groom laying down his life for his bride. And the king goes out and conquers his enemies and protects his bride as well. He rides forth in glorious victory for mercy and justice. Again, speaking of the work of our Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ. It also says that the Messiah is anointed with grace. Here you might remember that word anointed is the word for Messiah, or the New Testament word Christ. And so here is the anointed one. In the Old Testament, the anointed ones stood as representatives of the anointed one, the Messiah that would eventually come. And here, Psalm 45 describes Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one, blessed by God the Father, riding in victory, shown as described as having royal clothing and places to live, working as one who is on a mission for truth, humility, and righteousness. And this speaks in Jesus' anointing. It speaks of his being our mediator, of his special role that was he accepted as being anointed by the Father to be our mediator. So in the New Testament, you can hear of our Messiah being granted all authority in heaven and on earth. He is and was blessed and will be blessed forever. He is set as head of the body, the church. The psalm goes on and speaks of the king in verse 6 in a very important way. Here in verse 6 it says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." Now, this is the psalmist speaking about the king, but also speaking to the king. It says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." And this is a verse that makes it plain that it's a psalm not just about an earthly king, but of the anticipated Messiah who is also God. Solomon was anointed and seated on God's throne, but was not God. And he would have denied that. But the anticipated Messiah, the one that would come as the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament kings and priests, this Messiah, Jesus Christ, is God. And verse 6 speaks of the divine nature of our Messiah. Those are some of the qualities and nature of our Messiah that Psalm 45 highlights. Verses 9 and following then describe the bride, the church. And I'll highlight just a few of these things. The bride is drawn to the king and comes, interestingly, not from God's covenant people, Israel, but from outside of those covenant people. You can see that there are others from other nations that are also brought to honor the king. And this is a foreshadowing of a promise that was part of the Old Testament. The children of Israel were not to be the only ones that were part of God's people. There's an anticipation that is then brought to fulfillment in the church of Jesus Christ that embraces a people from all nationalities. That's what motivates us to share the gospel around the world, to send missionaries to other languages, to send those that would preach Jesus Christ, because it's in fulfillment of a promise like this that God is drawing a people to himself from around the world. You can also see that the bride has eyes only for the king, and the king has only eyes for his bride. This is something that you can see in weddings today. Have you ever noticed that there's often a moment in the wedding where the bride and the groom just seem to forget that there's anybody else in the room? They're so caught up in the moment and caught up with the love that they have for each other that they forget anything else that's going on. And there's something of that being expressed here. The bride forgetting her family, forgetting her people, and being drawn to the king has eyes only for him. And it says that the king has love for her and desires her beauty. And that love of the Lord Jesus Christ is expressed then in the New Testament as a love that would prompt him to lay down his life for his church. And we, in response, love him. And as verse 11 says, we worship him as it is fitting to do. And finally, the bride is made glorious in her wedding dress. In this psalm about the wedding, the dress comes in. That's often how it is in weddings today. It's all about the dress, it seems like. Well, in this psalm, it's not all about the dress. It's about those that are being married. But the dress does come into play here. We have often turn to this as an example of what we speak of as justification, that the bride is clothed in a glorious wedding dress. And in justification, sinners are clothed in the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. He is without sin, and he provides that sinlessness to you as his bride, and you are made glorious by that. And so Christ's name is remembered throughout all generations, and it is praised forevermore. We will be singing Psalm 45 in both selections today. Your bulletin says A and B. It should read B and C, so we'll start by singing Psalm 45, selection B, of the glorious nature of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing Psalm 45b.